Tyler sprinted through the servants' quarters unseen. Still, no soldiers had come running. Things had to be bad somewhere for the soldiers not to have organized any resistance. Abruptly, he was on a fight. At least one detachment of Highlanders must have come in another way, because 20 of them were busy slaughtering twice as many Cenarian soldiers. The Cenarians were on the verge of breaking, even as their sergeant was bellowing orders at them.
Come together, men! Fight! Fight for your lives!
The sight of the man's face stopped Kyler. He knew that sergeant. It was Gamble, the guard who'd come into the North Tower the day of Kyler's first kill. Kyler joined the fray and killed Caladorans as easily as a scythe cuts wheat. It was simple labor. There was no joy in killing men who could barely see him. At first, no one noticed him. He was a smear of darkness deep in the bowels of a castle constructed of dark stone and lit with flickering torches. Then he saved Gamble's life, beheading one Caladoran and eviscerating another as they cornered the officer. Kyler didn't even slow. He was a whirlwind. He was the first face of the Night Angels. He was vengeance. Killing was no longer an activity, it was a state of being. Kyler became killing. If every drop of guilty blood he spilled might blot out a drop of innocent blood, he would be clean tonight. It passed all too quickly. For in what couldn't have been more than half a minute, every last Caladoran was dead. None was even dying. The killing wrath was nothing if not thorough. The effect on the Cenarians was monumental. These sheep in guards' armor stood, gaping, at the ragged darkness that was Kyler. The weapons weren't even raised. They didn't stand in ready positions. They just marveled at Death's avatar among them.
The Night Angel fights for you!
Kyler had already paused too long. Logan could be dying right now. He ran deeper into the castle. All the doors were closed, and the halls were eerily quiet. He could only assume that the servants were huddled in their rooms or already fleeing. The pounding of many footsteps brought him up short. Kyler sank into a shadowed doorway near a corner. He might be safe from the eyes of men, but there were things more dangerous than men in the castle tonight.
There must be a good 200 of their soldiers trapped downstairs.
One of the officers was speaking to a man whose narrow build gave him away as a witch, even though he wore armor and a sword.
It'll hold for maybe 15 minutes, Meister.
And the nobles in the garden?
His answer was lost in the tramp of the Highlanders' feet as they wound past Kyler and into the distance. As Kyler wound deeper into the castle toward the garden, dead men began to clutter the halls, their blood slickening the floors. Kyler didn't even slow as he ran past. Following the blood and the corpses led Kyler to double doors of walnut barred from the outside. He lifted the bar and eased the door open.
What in the hell?
Retreating from the crack to stand behind yet another picture of Niner standing in a heroic pose, Kyler saw several Highlanders guarding a room full of nobles. There were men, women, and even a few children in the group. They were disheveled and frightened. Footsteps tapped across the floor from beyond Kylo's line of sight, and the Highlanders, he could see, readied their weapons. The point of a halberd hooked the corner of the door and pulled it open, revealing a squat Caladoran officer as thick as he was tall. The officer pulled the other door open with a halberd. Then he beckoned, and two men jumped into the hall, back-to-back, swords raised. They looked right at the statue, right at Kyler, who'd pressed himself against the statue's back, putting his arms behind its arms, his legs behind its legs.
Nothing, sir.
Inside the garden, which wasn't nearly as grand as it looked in the paintings, were 10 guards and 40 or 50 nobles, none of them armed. Mercifully, the Highlanders had no witches with them. Kyler assumed witches were too valuable to be wasted guarding prisoners. The nobles looked dazed. They didn't seem to believe what had happened to them. It was beyond their comprehension that their world could turn so completely upside down so quickly. Many were obviously ill. Some were torn and bloodied, but others were absolutely untouched. Some ladies, whose hair was still perfectly coiffed, wept, while others, bearing gashes and torn skirts, seemed poised and calm.
Bleeding mercy, Cap!
It didn't just unbar itself.
We're here to guard this room, and we stay here.
But we don't know what's out there, sir.
We stay.
Kyler almost felt bad for the young Highlander. The young man's instincts were right. One day, he'd have been a good officer, but that didn't stop Kyler from dropping the shadows a pace away from him. Ah! The young Caladoran's sword had barely cleared its scabbard when Kyler disemboweled him. And he danced past the man, throwing a knife with his left hand. Kyler parted hardened leather armor and ribs with an upward cut, guided a sword past his side, and the sword into another soldier's body in a smooth motion. Kyler jerked his head forward into a Highlander's face, spun with the man quickly. The man's back absorbed the captain's halberd. Kyler dropped under a slash and stabbed up into a Highlander's groin with his wakizashi. Six men were dead or down, four remained. The first was impetuous.
You killed my brother!
Harry and Riposte and brother joined brother. The last three moved forward together.
Death has come for you all!
The officer dropped the halberd and drew a rapier. Kyler smiled at the extremes of the man's weapon choices and then looked over the officer's shoulder. The man started to turn, frowned, and didn't look back. A pretty noblewoman smashed the back of his head in with a planter.
Thank you for saving us, but damn you for looking at me. You could have gotten me killed.
Tara Grayson was one of the women whose hair and makeup hadn't been the least disturbed by whatever violence had brought her here.
He didn't look back, did he?
Well, I never.
Kyler was glad for the black silk kerchief over his face. He'd worn the mask out of habit, but if he hadn't, some of these nobles would have recognized him.
No orders, Captain. His Majesty says to kill them all. We need your soldiers to help quell resistance in the courtyard.
You need to leave immediately. There's at least 200 more Highlanders coming over West Kingsbridge. They're probably the ones fighting in the courtyard right now. If you want to live, collect whatever weapons you can and free the soldiers who are trapped downstairs. Others are already heading there. With them, you can make it out of the castle. You can start a resistance. You've already lost the castle. You've lost the city. If you don't move fast, you'll lose your lives.
The news hit the nobles crowding around Kyler like cold water. Some of them shrank even more, but a few of them seemed to find their backbones as he spoke.
We'll fight, sir. But some of us have been poisoned.
I know those poisons. If you've lived this long, you've taken a small enough dose that you'll recover within a half hour. Where's Logan Guile?
Excuse me, I'm Tara Grayson, now Queen Grayson.
Where's Logan Guile?
Dead. He's dead. The king's dead. The queen's dead. The princesses are dead. All of them.
Are you sure? Did you see it?
We were with the king in the great hall when he died, and I found the queen and her younger daughters in their chambers before I got caught. It was awful. I didn't see Logan and Janine, but they must have been the first to die. After the king announced their marriage, they'd not left the great hall 10 minutes before the coup started. The Lord General took men to try to save them, but he was too late. These men were just bragging about how they slaughtered the royal guards.
Where?
I don't know, but it's...
Does anyone know where Logan went?
Kyler saw from the looks on their faces that some of them knew, but they weren't going to tell him because they were afraid he would leave them.
Cowards.
Kyler pushed through the standing nobles to see a pasty, pale man sweating on his back. His mouth was crusted with froth, and there was a puddle of vomit near his head. It looked so bad that Kyler almost didn't recognize him. It was Count Drake. Kyler knelt by the Count and grabbed leaves from his herb pouch and began stuffing them in the Count's mouth. The Count stirred. His eyes opened, slowly focused. He was going to make it.
North Tower.
That's where Logan went?
The Count nodded and then lay back, exhausted.
It's too late for them. Fight with us. I'll give you lands, titles, a pardon.
Kyler simply wrapped himself in shadows and ran. Rolf's men kicked open the door to the bedchamber. Rolf and Nefdada followed as the 11 men pressed into the room. Even though the double doors were wide enough for three abreast, with four ranks of men in front of him, Roth couldn't see what was happening, except to know that it wasn't good. Beside him, Nepdada had extended his beer-marked arms. The concussion blew men in every direction.
Validus Lux Deus.
The room filled with light. Roth stepped inside with Neff as everyone recovered. Logan tried to jump to his feet too, but his limbs were anchored to the floor as if by a great weight. He was naked and furious. Roth sheathed his sword as eight of his men collected their scattered weapons. Six men lay on the floor, all bleeding from deep wounds. Three of them were dead, three would be soon. Apparently, Logan Gaia was no slouch with a sword. On the bed, wearing a hiked-up translucent nightgown, lay the princess.
Logan!
She was thrashing, terrified, but she couldn't cover herself. Neff had immobilized her, too. Roth sat down on the bed next to the girl and let his eyes roam over her nubile body. He licked a finger, put it at the base of her neck, and traced it down her body.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Janine Gunder's eyes flashed. She was blushing from his casual perusal, but she was furious too. Roth put a finger to her lip.
I just came to congratulate you on your recent nuptials, my dove. How is everything? Are you satisfied with the wealth of your husband's endowments?
Roth looked over at the naked Logan and scowled.
Well, I suppose you are. And my dear Duke Gaia, or should I say, Prince Gaia, don't lose heart. I've seen her mother naked. Oh, in time.
Logan's bonds held.
There's the rub. In time, the princess might grow into these rather admirable breasts and hips.
Roth smiled at her and pinched a cheek. Roth stood, and Neff's magic lifted Janine from the bed to stand, trembling, next to her husband.
But you don't have time. I hope you've enjoyed your marriage. And Logan, friend, I hope you've not been wasting your time with foreplay. Because your marriage is over.
Who are you?
I'm Roth. I'm the man who ordered your brother's death, Janine. I'm Roth, the Shinga of the Sakage. I'm the man who ordered your father's death, Janine. Not 10 minutes ago, I watched his head roll off the high table. I'm Prince Roth Ursul of Kalidor. I'm the man who ordered your sister's and your mother's death, Janine. If you listen, you might hear their cries.
Roth put a finger to his ear and an attentive look on his face, mocking.
You two are all that's left between me and Cenaria's crown, Janine. And I'm going to take that crown. I'm afraid I'm going to have to kill you. Do you want to choose which of you dies first?
With each revelation, he watched Janine's eyes, fed hungrily on her dying hope, gorged himself on her ripening despair. Roth turned her so she faced Logan.
No!
Logan bucked and strained against the bonds, his muscles taut, swelling huge. But escaping Neff's magic was impossible. He could sooner tear stars from the heavens.
My lord, one of the barges has been destroyed. The Meisters need you to help quell the resistance.
Watching the hope bloom in the young girl's eyes gave Roth a shiver of excitement.
Resistance! Maybe they'll save you. But wait, your hero is already here. Logan, are you just going to stand there? Aren't you going to save her?
The prince couldn't move.
Oh, I guess not. But you're the princess. Surely the royal guards will come. Why, I bet even now the Lord General is leading men here to rescue you. But I killed Agon and all the royal guards. There are no more heroes. No one can save you, Janine.
Roth stepped behind Janine and trailed his free hand up her slender stomach. He ripped her nightgown open, tore it off, and cupped a breast in his hand. As a tear rolled from her eye, he bent and kissed her neck like a lover, his eyes locked on Logan's, mocking. Then, where he'd kissed her, he cut her throat. Roth gave her a shove and Janine stumbled into Logan's arms, the right side of her neck a fountain of blood.
Janine!
Neff loosed Logan's bonds enough that he could hold the girl, but not enough to reach up to try to stop the bleeding. He held the small, gasping girl to his chest. Roth devoured his horror, trying to lock this memory into his mind, knowing he would need this on the long, dark nights. But then Logan pulled back, turned so Roth couldn't see his face, and looked into Janine's face.
I'm here, Jenny. I'm not going to leave you.
The gentleness in his voice infuriated Roth. It was as if Roth didn't matter anymore. With his soothing voice, Logan was pulling Janine and himself out of this world of darkness, walling them off somewhere Roth couldn't go. As Janine stared into Logan's eyes, Roth could see her relax, not into death, but from despair.
You really would have loved me, wouldn't you?
Roth knew he should have cut deeper, should have slashed her windpipe and not just that single artery. The big man didn't even lose eye contact with the princess.
Jenny. Jenny, I already love you. I'll be with you soon.
You're dying.
Janine's knees trembled and Logan pulled her back into his embrace, closing his eyes and whispering in her ear as her life bled out against his chest. Logan didn't even look at Roth as Janine shuddered against his chest.
It'll be okay, sweet Jenny. Oh, how I love you.
Neff released the bonds holding her slowly and she crumpled to the floor.
No! No!
She wasn't even afraid. He'd done everything right and she wasn't even afraid to die. Who wasn't afraid to die? It wasn't right. It wasn't fair.
You won't die so easy, Logan Gaia.
Roth turned to his men. The muscle in his jaw twitched.
Take him to the moor and give him to the sodomites.
My lord, you must...
Roth grabbed a handful of the messenger's hair.
My lord, please, I'm so...
Meanwhile, Neff had opened the hidden door out of the chamber. He lifted the princess's body with magic and floated it before him.
Neff, what are you doing?
The God King wishes to have the heads of all the royal family displayed. Whatever you're planning, I'd advise you to hurry.
Neff didn't address Roth by his title. Everything was going wrong, and Father would be here soon. Roth turned, holding a gory strip of hair and flesh in his fist. He trembled with rage, and the men holding Logan went as white as paste.
Bring me his head when they're finished. But before you give him to the sodomites, cut his cock off and bring me a sack for a purse. I want him to bleed to death as they fuck him.
The antechamber at the base of the North Tower stank overwhelmingly of blood and feces released in death. The bitter tang of urine threaded through the stench. A quick glance told the story. The men had been trapped in the room, ambushed by a crossbowman. Kyler scowled.
A crossbowman? In a room this small?
Then he saw the narrow platform by the ceiling, plainly visible in the shadows that now welcomed Kyler's eyes. From the way the bodies were scattered, it had just been the one man, shooting the royal guards and nobles like fish in a barrel. So this was what happened to the men who'd come to save their prince. From the streaks of blood going out the door, it looked like only one man had survived to drag himself away. Sickened, Kyler ran up the stairs. He found six dead Caladorans at the entryway. The rest of the story was clear enough. Caught in bed with his wife, Logan's clothes were scattered around the room. Logan had sprung up and fought. He'd killed six fully armed Caladorans, but from the burn marks on the floor, he'd been hurt or disabled with magic. Then, from the wide, sticky puddle of blood, it was obvious that Roth had either killed Logan slowly, so that he bled copiously, or had killed both him and his wife. Neither body was in the room. The Caladorans would want Logan's body along with the rest of the royal family's bodies, so the whole kingdom could see they were dead, the line of succession wiped out. A torn nightgown lay on the floor. The princess, young and beautiful as she was, was probably in a room somewhere being raped until she died of it. Kyla tried to interpret it another way. His mind analyzed the scene, trying to ward off the shock of despair. Was it possible the princess had been killed and Logan was alive? But soldiers wouldn't keep Logan alive and kill a princess whom they could rape. Logan was a warrior, a renowned swordsman, and the heir to the throne. The assassinations of the rest of the royal family had been carried out brutally, but precisely, carefully. If the Caladorans were going to make an exception and spare one life for any length of time, it wouldn't be Logan's. Grief hit Kyla like a physical blow. Logan was dead. His best friend was dead. Dead! And the blame could only be placed on Kyla. It could have stopped it. Kyla could have killed Durzo last night. Durzo's back had been there, a target he couldn't miss. Dorian had told him, What pain hadn't he inflicted on Logan? He'd allowed the murder of Logan's friend, Elaine, concealed the truth about Sarah's and Elaine's love affair, got him sent to prison for murder, and forced him to break his engagement. Now Logan had been forced to marry a girl he didn't know and had been murdered. His wife of less than an hour, raped and killed.
Logan, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
Kylo reached a hand to steady himself and found it in the puddle of blood. He looked at his bloody, bloody hand. Bloody as it had been bloodied in this very chamber 5 years ago when he'd finished his first solo kill. Bloody as it had been bloody continually since he murdered his first innocent. This was where murder had brought him. It had brought him full circle, his murder of one innocent leading inexorably to the murder of more. In the last 5 years, he'd done exactly what he'd intended to do. He'd become more and more like Durzo Blint. He'd become a killer. He'd slept uneasily, so he slept light, so he was ever more dangerous. He was always on edge, and the blood that first covered his hands in this very room had never been washed clean. It had only been added to. It was no mistake that Logan's blood was on his hands now. No coincidence. The Drakes like to talk about a divine economy. The god turning weeping into laughter, sorrow into joy. A wet boy was the merchant prince of the satanic economy. Murder begat murder, and as Durzo had said, others always paid the price.
Must others always pay for my failures? Is there no other way?
The blood on his hand said no. No, this is reality. It's hard, uncomfortable, hateful, but it's true.
I'm breaking my own rules.
Kyler didn't look up. He didn't care if he died. But the man said no more.
Don't play fair. A kill is a kill.
Durzo stepped out of the shadows.
Kyler, I have one last rule to teach you.
And what's that, Master?
You're almost a wet boy now, Kyler. And now that you've learned to win almost any fight, there's one more rule. Never fight when you can't win.
Fine. You win.
Come, apprentice. Here is your crucible.
Is that all your life is? Tests and challenges?
My life? That's all life is.
That's not good enough. These people shouldn't be dying. Kalidor shouldn't be winning. It's not right.
I never said it's right. My world isn't cut into black and white, right and wrong, Kyla. Yours shouldn't be either. Our world only has better and worse, shadows lighter and darker. Scenario couldn't win against Kalidor no matter what happened tonight. This way, a few nobles die rather than tens of thousands of peasants. It's better this way.
Better? My best friend's dead and they're probably raping his wife. How can you stand by and do nothing? How can you help them?
Because life's empty.
Bullshit! If you believed that, you'd have died a long time ago.
I did die a long time ago. All the good passes by, and all the evil passes by, and we can't do a damn thing to change anything or anybody, Kyla. Least of all ourselves. This war will come and go. There will be a victor, and people will die for nothing. But we'll be alive, like always. At least I will.
It's not right.
What do you want? Justice? Justice is a fairy tale, a myth with soft fur and reassuring strength.
A myth you believed in once upon a time.
Kyler gestured to the word justice etched into Retribution's blade.
I used to believe in a lot of things. That doesn't make them true.
Who's better off? Logan or us? Logan could sleep at night. I hate myself. I dream of murder and wake in cold sweat. You drink yourself oblivious and blow your money on whores.
Logan's dead. Maybe he'll wear a crown in the next life, but that doesn't do him much good now, does it?
And you're the one who says life is empty, meaningless. That we don't take anything of value when we take a life. Look how you hold on to yours, you fucking hypocrite.
Every man worth a damn is a hypocrite.
Durzo reached into a breast pocket and pulled out a folded scrap of paper.
If you kill me, this is for you. It explains things. Consider it your inheritance. If I kill you, well, when I die, I'll take a break on my way to the lowest plane of hell and stop to talk.
Durzo tucked the paper in a breast pocket and drew a huge sword with a long red ribbon dangling from its hilt. It was a longer, heavier blade than Retribution, but with his talent, Durzo could wield it with a single hand.
Don't do this. I don't want to fight you.
The wet boy closed on him. Kyler stood still, making no move to defend himself.
Did you already give him the globe of edges?
The wet boy stopped. He reached into a pouch and pulled out the silvery globe.
This is nothing. Another fake.
Durzo hurled the globe through the window.
What have you done?
By the Night Angels! You bonded my Kakari! You stole it from me! You still don't understand!
It was like he was speaking another language. Bonded? Kyler thought he'd bonded the Kakari. Must have, because his talent worked now. And Durzo said it was glass?
Unbelievable! Draw your sword and fight, boy!
It's my sword now, is it?
Not for long. You aren't worthy to succeed me.
I don't want to fight you. I won't fight you.
At the last second, Kyler drew Retribution and blocked. Talent strengthened blow met talent strengthened blow. The blade shivered from the impact.
I knew it was in you.
Kyler staggered backward, blocking some blows and jumping back to avoid more. Durzo used every weapon in his arsenal. The sword blurred through combinations, whipping the hilt into a scintillant red stream. The ribbon's purpose was to pull an opponent's eye from the point of danger. Blocking and dodging, Kyler retreated back and back. The very familiarity of fighting against Durzo slowly calmed him. Of course, he'd always lost, but things would be different this time. They had to be. A surge of power flowed through his arms with a rush of tingles that made him feel like every hair on his body was standing on end. He parried a thrust, and Durzo's blade was slapped aside as if it weighed a quarter of what it did. Blint recovered in a blink, but he stopped advancing. Kyler dropped backward toward the wall and lashed out with a foot, halting Blint's foot as it came forward. Expecting his sword to meet resistance, Blint slashed too hard. His heavy blade slashed deeply into the bureau. Durzo reached over his shoulders and grabbed twin hook swords.
Oh, I hate those.
I know.
Kyler attacked, still trying to adjust to the talent's effect on his fighting. So far as he could tell, it could make his muscles move more quickly and more powerfully. There was a limit to how fast even two talented fighters could fight. Blint let Kyler come forward, using the hook swords defensively. Then, as they neared the bed, he started using the hooks. As Kyler struck, Durzo turned his blade down to the hooks and wrenched Retribution aside. He followed with an overhand slash with the other sword. Leaping backward, Kyler found himself being driven toward one of the tower's broad windows. Durzo strode in and caught a slow slash, but instead of sweeping it aside, he caught it with his other hook, trapping Kyler's blade. As Kyler lunged forward, Blint glided the blade past his head and wrenched it free. Retribution clattered on the floor behind Kyler. Blint kicked him in the chest. Kyler slammed into the window. Suddenly, Kyler had the sickening sensation of launching into space. Clawing for something, anything, Kyler turned, twisting with the desperate grace of a fallen cat. Abandoned to gravity, his dagger spun away, glittering in the moonlight. Kyla punched his fingers through a delicate window pane. His hand clamped on wood and jagged glass as his momentum swung the window open. His face met the tower wall. Glass glided through the flesh of his fingers, then ground against bone as his hand slipped, held. Blinking, he dangled by one hand. Blood coursed down his arm. Blood coursed down his face. He hung 200 feet over the basalt of the castle's foundation and the broad expanse of the river. Steam escaped from the single volcanic vent that opened on Vaz Island and obscured a barge pulled up to the shore. The steam shone in the moonlight, and far below, by the ship, Kyler saw men talking. Even from this height, he could hear the ringing of steel and catch glimpses of Caladoran invaders overwhelming foot soldiers in the castle courtyard. Then Sergeant Gamble emerged from the front gate. He was leading the nobles and more than 200 Cenarian soldiers. They were trying to escape the castle, just as Kyler had told them. But even as they pushed toward the east gate, the Caladorans were reinforced by more than 100 Highlanders coming from the opposite side of the castle. In seconds, the courtyard had become the front line of the battle and the war for Cenaria. The castle and the city were lost. If the nobles were slaughtered, so was all of Cenaria. If the nobles could press through the massed Highlanders and get across East Kingsbridge, they could begin a resistance. It was the dimmest sort of hope, but hope had never come in the blinding bright variety in Cenaria. Kylo dropped the hinge. He scrambled up the window frame as the next hinge tore out of the sill. The last hinge protested and popped out. Kyler hurled himself at the storm shutter tied back against the tower wall. Three slats broke and then finally arrested his fall. The window sailed peacefully below him, turning end over end in the whistling wind. It hit the rocks just paces short of the river, exactly where Kyler would land if he fell. The window exploded into splinters and slivers of glass. Kyler looked up. The shutter's hinges were straining, slowly pulling out of the rock.
Oh, perfect.
Durzo Blint stood in the carnage and saw none of it. Bodies were strewn about the bedchamber. Freshly cut lilies bloomed next to the royal bed. White lilies flecked red with blood. A delicate, once white nightgown lay soaking in a wide pool of crimson near his feet. The floor mosaic was scorched in a black circle. The acrid tang of witch fire smothered the hint of perfume in the air. But Durzo saw only the open window in front of him. His pockmarked face looked stricken. It wasn't supposed to end like this. It wasn't supposed to be so empty. His head cocked to the side as he heard something over the screaming wind. Kylo willed himself to release the shutter with his bloody right hand. His hand found empty sheaths for daggers that matched the empty scabbard on his back. He contorted himself to draw a tanto from his cap. His fingers were deadened, lacerated, weak. The tanto almost slipped out of them. The ropes tying the shutter against the wall parted easily. Kylo stiffened, but there was no help for the noise. He launched off the tower wall with both feet. He swung back toward the open window and heaved his body up with the force of his talent as if he swung on a giant swing. The shutter tore away from the tower in his hands, and he barely made it high enough not to slam into the wall instead of sliding into the bedchamber along the floor. His body swept Durzo's feet out from under him, and the wet point fell on top of Kylo. One of his hooked swords going flying out the window. The shutter was between them, trapping Durzo's hands in an awkward position. Kyler slapped the shutter into Durzo's face. Kyler rolled aside and jumped to his feet, but Blint was already up. He kicked a footstool at Kyler. Kyler blocked it with a foot, but it caught him off balance and tripped him. Running forward like lightning, Blint raised the hooked sword. Instead of trying to stand or roll aside, Kyler grabbed the rug and yanked. Durzo lurched forward faster than he expected and cut in the air as his knees collided with Kyler's shoulder. Durzo's heavy, curved sword was still lodged in the bureau next to the window, but retribution was closer. Kyler grabbed it and turned.
I don't want to...
The wet boy lunged to grab the hooked sword off the ground. Kylo jumped on the hooked sword.
Fight you!
For an instant, it seemed the iron core of the blade would hold. Then the sword snapped an inch from the hilt.
You might not want to, son, but there's something in you that refuses to die.
Durzo threw the broken blade aside, but didn't draw any other weapon.
Master, don't make me fight you.
You made your choice when you disobeyed me.
Why'd you do it?
I wouldn't have apprenticed you, but I thought you were something you're not. May the Night Angels forgive me.
I don't mean me. Why'd you make me betray my best friend?
Because you broke the rules. Because life's empty. Because I broke the rules too. It catches up.
That's not good enough!
Logan died screaming, you know. Pathetic.
Kylo lashed out. The sword streaked for Durzo's neck, but Durzo didn't flinch. The blade slapped into his palm and stopped as if it didn't even have an edge. But Durzo's hands were tented in front of him. The hand holding Kylo's sword was made of pure magic. It flung retribution out of Kylo's grip. Other hands bloomed in the air, striking at him. Kylo blocked and stumbled back as Durzo walked forward calmly, surging with talent. There was nothing Kylo could do. He blocked faster and faster, but the hands came faster still. Durzo drove him back and back. Finally, hands latched onto each of Kylo's limbs and pinned him to the wall. He couldn't move an inch.
Ah, kid, if I could have taught you to use your talent, you'd have been something really special.
Durzo drew a thrown dagger, spun it in his fingers, brought it up. He paused as if to say something, then shook his head.
I'm sorry, Kylo.
Don't be. Life's empty, right?
Durzo stared at retribution gleaming blackly at Kylo's feet, as close as the moonlight and as far away as the moon. The look on his scarred face was anguish, regret. Following his gaze, Kylo stared at the black sword that Durzo had carried for so many years, then remembered. Scowling, Durzo had snatched the pouch away from him and turned it over. The globe of edges fell into his hand.
Damn, just what I thought.
What?
It was a fake. Another fake Kakari. But Durzo wasn't in any mood to answer questions.
Did the girl see your face?
Kyler's silence was enough.
Take care of it. Kyla, that's not a request, it's an order. Kill her.
No.
What did you say?
Black blood dribbled down retribution, pooling on the floor.
I won't kill her, and I won't let you.
Who is this girl that she's worth being hunted for the rest of your short? She's Doll Girl.
Yes, Master. I'm sorry.
By the Night Angels. I don't want apologies, I want obedience.
Durzo held up a finger for silence. The footfalls were close now. Durzo blurred into the hall, inhumanly fast, his sword flashing silver in the yellow light.
His sword flashed silver? Retribution's blade is black.
He raised a hand and felt the Kakari slap into his outstretched palm.
It's mine!
The Kakari pooled like black oil in an instant. What had Durzo just said? The silver was another fake. You stole my Kakari. Not a silver Kakari at all. A black Kakari. The Kakari Durzo had been carrying for years. Hidden, covering the blade of retribution. The Kakari choose their own masters. For some reason, the black Kakari had chosen Kylo. Maybe he had chosen him years ago. The day Durzo had beaten him for seeing Doll Girl again. That day, when a blue glow had surrounded the black blade.
No, not that! It's mine!
The incandescent blue fire had burned into Kylo's fingers. Durzo had thrown it away from Kylo so Kylo couldn't complete the bond. Because once Kylo completed the bond, Kylo wouldn't call the Silver Kakari for Durzo. Now they knew he hadn't called it, because it had been a fake. There had never been any Kakari in the city except Durzo's black. And Durzo had known from that very day that if he let Kylo live, the black Kakari was lost to him forever. Durzo had even left it for him tonight so that Kylo would have a chance. But now it was too late. Durzo looked like there was more he wanted to say to Kylo. Some way he wanted to vent his anguish, but he'd never been a man of words. Instead, mere paces away, he hurled the knife at Kylo's face. Time didn't slow. The world didn't contract to the point of the spinning knife. But despair flashed in the heart of an insane hope in Kylo's heart. He didn't even notice his hand come up, didn't know how it had broken free, couldn't say how the Kakari had gone from the blade on the floor into his hand. It was just there. In that unslowed fraction of a second, black goo flipped from his fingertips and splattered across the knife, spinning toward his chest like spit against pavement. When Kylo looked again, the knife was just gone. Kylo looked down to see what had made the sound. The Kakari was rolling across the floor, coming toward him. It wobbled as it rolled, and when it climbed up his boot and dissolved into his skin, Kylo felt a rush of power. With a mental shrug, Kylo burst through the phantasmal hands holding him to the wall. Settling smoothly on his feet, he extended a hand toward his old master and released the power arcing through him. Durza was hurled away as if all the force of a hurricane had been unleashed in his face. With the talent, Kylo caught up retribution and brought it to his hand.
Don't fight when you can't win. And don't fight when you don't want to win, right?
Sometimes you have to fight.
Not this time.
He raised the sword and came forward at a run. Durzo didn't move. He just looked Kylo in the eye, ready. At the last second, Kylo dodged to the side and dove through the window into the moonlit air whipping through the North Tower. One of those men on the boat had been Roth. Logan had no intention of letting anyone use his sack for a coin purse, much less Roth Ursul. In fact, he intended to kill the bastard. He wasn't worried that he was unarmed and still naked. Roth had supposed it would strip him of his dignity. Rage gave him power. All the cruelty and depravity and horror Logan had seen in the last day had transformed him. He would be a man again, later. Now he was hard, crystal clear, frozen rage. Logan figured that even with his hands bound, he could kill both guards. With the fury that was arcing through his body, he didn't think there was much of anything that could stop him. Except magic. Roth had known it too, and he'd sent his witch, Neff Dada, to escort Logan to the dungeon. Neff had obviously memorized the layout of the castle because he threaded through servants' hallways and back staircases and cellars effortlessly. The city of Cenaria had only one jail connected to the castle by a single tunnel. Now, overrun with Caladoran Highlanders and separated from the rest of the city by the two forks of the Plith River, prisoners were taken to the jail by barge. Few left. The felons who came here might as well have been devoured by the earth herself. Or the sliver of Logan that wasn't rage thought as a peculiar smell assaulted his senses. Maybe it was called the Maw for different reasons. Fumes were constantly escaping from the north side of Voss Island and filling the air of the prison with the smell of brimstone before finally finding the open air. Neff Dada paused before an iron gate while one of the men guarding Logan fumbled for a key. Neff glared at the man and waved a hand in front of the lock.
I have other matters to attend to. Can you handle him by yourselves from here?
Yes, sir.
Logan's heart smiled. Fighting two armed men while naked wasn't exactly good odds, but with Neff's magical bonds holding his arms motionless and giving his legs barely enough space to shuffle, there was nothing he could do.
Good. The bonds will hold for 10 minutes.
Plenty of time, sir.
Neff left them. The big-nosed guard locked the iron gate, giving Logan time to adjust to the dim room. To the right and left were heavy doors with iron-barred windows.
In case you're wondering, these are the nicest suites in the place. Real sweet places. For nobles. Not for you, though.
Logan looked at the man flatly.
Ramp up there goes to the surface. Not for you either.
The weasel-faced guard looked at Nose.
You always taunt dead men.
Always.
We down on three?
Yep. All the way to the Howlers. Let's make it quick.
Nose tapped on the fourth door as he passed it.
I'll be right back for you, sweetheart.
Fuck you!
That bitch makes me so hot. You seen her? Got more scars on her face than a Highlander's got fleas. But who needs to look at her face, huh?
A prince will rip your throat out if you touch her.
Ah, How's he gonna know?
He's coming down tonight. He wants to free out the Kage boys and check on that wench and some little kid they dragged in.
Tonight? Hell, she won't take 5 minutes!
They wended their way through two levels of man-made tunnels, the smells of massed humanity thickening and mingling with potent brimstone, sewage, and other smells Logan couldn't identify. He tested his bonds periodically, but there was no change. He was barely mobile. Nonetheless, he kept his eyes open for his chance. Simple escape wouldn't be good enough. He had to kill both guards, get the keys, and remember the way out. The howlers were on the third floor, but as they came into the natural caves, merely widened with tools, Logan heard no howling.
We don't want to go no further.
They paused in front of a double-banded iron door.
These bastards here will do all we need. I'm not going to even try to get them out of the hole. I don't go near those animals.
The hole?
Hell's asshole! For the rapists, killers, and twists so bad that hanging's too good for them. They drop them in there and let them devour each other. They have to get their water off the rocks, and the guards never throw in enough bread. Sometimes they piss on it first.
So, who's going to... you know. Those bonds won't hold forever.
Who's going to what?
You know, cut them off.
Logan tested the bonds, but they were still strong. His arms were locked at his sides. His torso held ramrod straight, and his feet could only move a few inches at a time. And the guards knew it. Oh, gods. He was running out of time.
I'll do it.
Nose grabbed a catch pole and draped the noose over Logan's neck, then handed the pole to Weasel.
You hold it. We can't take any chances. Give me that.
Weasel handed his knife to Nose. It was just an ordinary knife, but Logan's eyes fixed on it. Fear began to mix with rage, and he felt that ice thawing, melting.
They're going to do it. Gods, no.
It's too bad you haven't worked with me longer.
What was that?
Nose rammed the knife into Weasel's eye.
Because I would have tried to cut you in instead of cutting you off!
Nose cut the noose off Logan's neck. Logan stared at him, stunned to silence. His rage and fear slow to fade. Nose didn't pay him any attention.
When you can move, put these on. Sorry they didn't send someone more your size.
Nose stripped the clothes off Weasel's corpse.
Who the hell are you?
Don't matter. What matters is who I work for. I work for Joel. A friend of a friend of yours.
Who?
Joel said to say he's a friend of a friend. I'm just telling you what I was told to.
What the hell are you doing?
Cutting his sack off.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Well, it ain't pretty, but it'll do. Good for us, his hair's is the same colors as yours, eh?
No stood and shook a piece of flesh at Logan.
Look, pretty boy, this wasn't my idea. But if Roth finds this sack after you and I are conveniently... killed during the uprising, we might both stay alive. Understand?
No.
Too bad. We don't have time. That shite I was talking about on our way down here was true. There's a woman and a little girl up in the first set of cells. Joel wants us to get them out. He wants to know why Roth wants them. Looks like those bonds are weakening. Grab a leg!
Logan found he could move his arms if he pushed hard enough, and his feet were almost loose. He grabbed one of Weasel's feet, avoiding looking at his crotch, and started dragging him with Nose.
So you said all that just so I'd know it?
Nose scowled at the long iron bar set over a dark gap in the floor. The hole was deep enough that in the meager torchlight, Logan couldn't see the bottom of it. Nose grabbed a key and unlocked a small grate at the near side of the bars.
Help me dump him in. Don't worry, it's plenty deep and the sides are sheer.
Logan moved forward reluctantly to help. He still couldn't move enough to squat to grab the grate, so Nose dragged it open, and Logan shoved Weasel into the hole.
What's the plan now?
The plan? We get the hell out. If Roth wins tonight, he'll be hot to find you. Dahl will have several men report seeing your body. Someone else will have seen me dead and will finally admit to having loaded my body. He'll show your coin purse to Rolf.
That's pretty thin.
There's hundreds of men dying upstairs. Trying to find out what happened to any one of them will be impossible. Roth knows that. Anyway, it's the best we can do and keep your head on your shoulders at the same time. Joel will have to decide if the coin purse bit is too much.
Noah stared back into the hole where the unmistakable sounds of feeding could be heard. He turned to Logan and smirked.
Kinda makes you wonder, don't it?
Logan shook his head, sickened. He looked back at Noah in time to see a thin lasso sail out of the hole. It dropped neatly over Noah's shoulders. In a blink, Logan saw that the rope was braided of sinews, and he had an inane thought. What animal down there is big enough that they could make a rope of its sinews? Noah's eyes filled with terror. Then the lasso jerked tight and yanked him off his feet. He smacked full length across the open grate and spread his arms and legs to keep from falling. But raising his arms brought the noose off his shoulders and around his neck. Logan staggered forward, moving faster than he had for half an hour, but he was too slow. Noah's eyes bulged as pressure mounted on the rope around his neck. There must have been five men pulling it. His arms weakened as he blinked at Logan, eyes bulging grotesquely. Then his arms folded, and he slid into the hole. Logan tried to grab for the man. Instead, he stumbled, tripped against the last vestiges of his bonds, and found himself rolling toward the hole himself. He gripped the bars and found himself staring down. He could vaguely make out the forms of men in a knot, limbs rising and falling, screeching and tearing at each other, and Nose was flailing. Logan flung himself to the side as hard as he could. He felt the weakened magic strain and snap. He flopped on his back on the jagged stones, then sat and flipped the grate closed. The key had fallen out of Nose's hand when the rope had jerked him from his feet, but Logan was shaking too badly to lock the grate. Unsteadily, he got to his feet and walked up the hall. Logan pulled on Weasel's clothes, stretching them over his taller, more muscular body. It was lucky that the man's clothing had been baggy, or it wouldn't have fit him at all. After pulling on boots that pinched his feet terribly, Logan stood. He tried to find the strength to go back and lock the grate. If he never saw a prison again, he knew he would still have nightmares of this day for the rest of his life. The last thing he wanted was to go back down the long hallway to the hole. But he couldn't let animals like that have even the slimmest chance of escape. He walked down the long hall carefully, slowly, even though he knew he should hurry. Several paces from the grate, he stopped. He wanted to vomit.
Hey, you! Did a couple of soldiers and a prisoner come this way?
One of the men in the last set of cells before the hole answered.
No, I haven't seen anyone.
See, they didn't come this way. And believe me, you don't want to go down the hole.
Logan silently blessed the prisoner who'd lied, probably more out of the habit of lying to authorities than to save him.
And you think a prisoner is going to tell you the truth? The prince demanded confirmation that Logan Geyer is dead. All of your men are cooperating in searching the rest of this dungeon. Are you trying to hinder us?
No, sir!
An unnatural, unflickering red light illuminated the long hallway.
Oh, witch! Oh, shit, where can I go?
In the feeble torchlight, Logan examined the hallway again, but there were no niches, no crawl spaces. It was a dead end. He considered a mad rush at the men. With only a knife, it would be tight, but if he could kill the witch first, he might have a chance.
This is a place of power. I feel dizzy with it.
Indeed.
I've not felt so much evil in one space since I last met with our liege.
With dread, Logan looked down at the grate. It was the only way. Count Drake had told him that life was precious, that suicide was a coward's way out, a sin against the god by flinging his gift back in his holy face. What was it Kylo had told him once? They had been propositioned by black market prostitutes, girls who operated outside of the Sakage's control and protection. The girls, neither more than 12, had offered themselves specifically for degrading practices Logan hadn't even heard of.
You'd be surprised at what you do to stay alive.
Logan opened the grate and slipped inside. He hung on the iron bars by one hand while he locked it. Then he tucked the key back into a pocket, drew his knife, and dropped into hell. It wasn't until Kylo was flying through the air that he realized just exactly how far down it was to the river. He He had no excuse, really. He'd been dangling out of this very window, looking at this very view not 5 minutes ago. Except now the view was enlarging, rapidly. He was going to clear the rocks, that was good. He was also going to hit the river at incredible speed, face first. Maybe a trained diver could have taken such a plunge without harm, but Kyler wasn't a diver. The river filled all his vision, and he flung his hands out, a thin wedge of talent wrapped around him. He was dreaming again. If it was called a dream, when what? The thought dribbled through Kyler's fingers, and he lost it. It was the dream he dreamt whenever he'd seen death for the last 10 years. Like always, for a brief moment, he knew it was a dream. He knew it was a dream, but by the time he realized what dream it was, he couldn't pull away. It swelled around him, and he was 11 again. The boat repair shop is dark, abandoned, cold in the silver moonlight. Azoth is terrified beyond terror, even though he planned this. Now he turns and Rat is behind him, naked. Azoth edges toward the hole where the boats once were lifted from the filthy waters of the cliff, edges toward rope and the rock tied to it, and the noose he knotted on the other end.
Kiss me again!
Rat is right in front of Azoth, hands grabbing at him lustfully. Where's the noose? He'd put it here, hadn't he? He sees the rock that was supposed to drag Rat to a watery death. But where's the... Rat pulls him close, and his breath is hot on Azoth's face, and his hands are pulling at Azoth's clothes. Kyler hit the bottom of the river with a bump. His eyes flicked open, and he saw retribution inches away from his face. In the shock of hitting the water, it had been torn from his grasp. He was lucky he hadn't cut himself to pieces with it. He was lucky that the silver blade had plunged straight to the bottom with him. Suddenly, aware of the burning in his lungs, Kyler grabbed retribution and pulled it for the surface. Kyler was surprised to find himself breathing air again and uninjured, at least from the fall. His nose and fingers were still bleeding, though, briefly staining the waters around him. The current jostled him up against a rock, and he pulled himself up. He'd washed up on the rocks on the Vaz Island side under East Kingbridge, directly across the river from the Jodwin estate. The bank of the river where he stood was also the foundation of the castle wall, so to go upstream, he had to half climb and half swim. It took him 10 exhausting minutes to get to a point where he could climb out of the water again. The docks where he'd seen Roth were at the northern tip of the island. To get there, he'd have to either continue through the water and the boulders along the river, or he'd have to go through the squat, stinking building that covered the Voss Island crack. Kyler didn't think he could make it over the rocks for another 10 or 20 minutes. Even if Roth were still there when he arrived, Kyler was too weak to go that way. His nose had finally stopped bleeding, and he'd wrapped his hand so it wasn't bleeding too badly. But if he tried to swim, it would bleed again. His hand throbbed, and his whole body felt weak from the blood he'd lost. If it were any other night, Kyler would have left. He was in no shape to attempt an assassination. But logic didn't mean much. Not tonight. Not after what Roth had done. The building on the Voss Island crack was built of stone in a square, 30 paces on a side and only a single story above ground. It was supposed to be a marvel of engineering, but Kyler knew little about it. He supposed nobles weren't impressed by a marvel that smelled like rotten eggs. It was stupidity to go on. Kyler was so exhausted he could barely even think of using his talent. It took a certain kind of strength of its own to do that. He propped himself against the heavy door, gathering his strength. He was still holding retribution. Looking down at the blade, he stared at the word etched into the blade. Justice. Except it didn't say justice, no.
What?
Mercy. It said in the same silver script exactly where it used to say justice in black. On the hilt, perpendicular to that, now also silver where it had been Kakari black, it said vengeance. The Kakari was gone. Kyler was so tired, stupid, that for a moment he despaired. Then he remembered where it had gone. It went into my skin. Just how tired was he? Surely that must have been his imagination, a hallucination. He turned his hand over, and black sweat suddenly poured from his palm like oil. Fluid for an instant. Then, suddenly congealing into a warm metal sphere. It was midnight black now, utterly featureless. A black Kakari. Logan's stories had mentioned only six. White, green, brown, red, silver, and blue. Emperor Jorsen Alkestes and his Archmages Ezra had given them to six champions, slighting one of Jorsen's best friends, who then betrayed him. After the war, the six Kakari had been objects of great lust, and those who carried them died quickly. Kyler tried to remember the name of the betrayer. It was Achilles Thorn. Jorsen hadn't slighted him after all. By pretending to slight him, Jorsen had given his best friend a way to escape and keep an artifact out of enemy hands. Because no one had known of the Black's existence, Achilles hadn't been hunted. Achilles had survived. Durzo had signed his letter.
A Thorn.
Gods.
Kyler couldn't think about it now. Couldn't stop or he wouldn't be able to start moving again.
Help me. Please. Serve me.
Kyler squeezed the Kakari and it dissolved, rushing along his skin, up over his clothes, over his face, over his eyes. He flinched, but he could still see perfectly. Still see through the dark as if it were natural. He looked down at his hands, his black sword, and saw them shimmer with magic and disappear. They weren't just cloaked in shadows as wet boys cloak themselves. They disappeared. Kylo wasn't a shadow like before. He was invisible. There was no time to marvel. He had work to do. It had been 10 minutes or more since he'd seen Roth on the dock. If Roth was going to die tonight, Kyler needed to move. He picked the lock and stepped inside.